Good news.
We like good news on Nightlife, and John D gives us that on a Sunday night. Hello, John. Oh, hang on. Where are you? You're on the phone rather than the usual spot. Hello.
Hello there.
We're going old school tonight.
Yes, back onto the mobile phones now.
Exactly. All right. Tell us about the robot that is killing starfish on the Barrier Reef. This is good news.
This is really good news. As we all know, the biggest threat for the Great Barrier Reef is coral bleaching, but the crown of thorn starfish is a real problem because, you know, it eats coral and it's causing widespread destruction on the Great Barrier Reef. Now, in a push to eradicate that crown of thorn starfish, researchers at Queensland University of Technology have joined forces with the Great Barrier Reef Foundation to develop what they're calling the RangerBot. It's the world's first underwater robot that can administer a lethal injection to starfish, and it's been developed with funding assistance from Google. And it's essentially like a robot that looks like a tiny yellow submarine. And the good news is it's got the potential to make a really big difference on the Great Barrier Reef.
So this is sort of more like, you know, has less consequences, I suppose, than the traditional approach, which is using divers.
Yeah, well, the RangerBot is interesting because it can stay underwater almost three times longer than a human diver. It can gather more data. It can operate in shark or crocodile-infested waters.
Yes.
And it can also operate at night in all types of conditions. Now, divers can cull about 1,000 crown of thorn starfish on a 40-minute dive, but this robot can cruise around the reef for about 8 hours in any direction before the battery needs a charge. And it can often reach spots that sometimes are difficult for divers. And, of course, the reality is there's not enough divers to make the kind of difference that we need to see across the reef. So it's really good to see this. It's a very unique piece of technology, and it's got the potential to be rolled out on a far bigger basis. And they're about to undertake operational testing. If that's successful, this could be rolled out on a really big scale.
Great. All right. Now, we've just been talking about the blue light from computers and what they could be doing to your eyes. Europe has flicked off the switch on halogen light bulbs. Now, which light bulbs are they?
So the halogen light bulbs, you know, halogens are like those downlights that you have in your home, and there's other forms as well, but most of us are familiar with the halogen downlights. A lot of us in Australia still have those in our homes. And the good news in Europe is they're going to be phased off shop shelves from this weekend as part of a push by the European Union to improve their energy efficiency and to cut carbon emissions. So from yesterday, retailers will no longer be allowed to replace stocks of those halogen light bulbs, which is great news because they use a lot more energy than the better alternatives like LED lights.
Oh, okay. So a lot of Australians would still have them in their houses, though, for their downlights.
Yeah. So we're going to be doing this as well. So we're about to start, you know, we're phasing those out now at the moment. And the good news there is for Europeans and any Australians listening now who want to get rid of their halogen downlights, those halogen lights can only last for about, say, up to 2,000 hours, but LED lights can last for up to 25,000 hours or more. So if you buy LED lights, that's a lot less lights you have to buy than if you're getting halogen lights. And they also use about 75 to 85% less energy than halogen lights. So you use a lot of electricity, a lot less electricity, and they don't generate the huge heat as well. So those halogen lights are also a fire risk. So good to see the back of them.
Save money on it. I think they were swapping them out for LED lights a few years ago. There was a scheme to do
that. Well,
there
was a scheme to get rid of the incandescent globes.
Right.
And what a lot of, you know, we often hear that, you know, people saying, why should Australia go first? You know, let's leave it to China and India and places like Europe. But if you think about the incandescent globes, Australia was the first developed country to get rid of them, and that has saved us over $5.5 billion in our energy bills. And, of course, the rest of the world thought, well, if Australia can do it, we can do it too. Right. So when we do lead the world, we can make a real difference.
Okay, so that's the next step. Okay, now the CSIRO is working on a non-toxic gold extraction technology. So in the past, we've used things like cyanide and mercury to extract gold. What are the CSIRO doing?
Well, that's right. So cyanide has been used in more than 90% of global gold production. But thankfully, gold producers are now facing a lot more tougher regulations that prevent or totally restrict the use of it. The good news is that the CSIRO has just produced Australia's first gold, where cyanide is replaced with thiosulfate, which is a non-toxic alternative. Now, the first gold has just been created as a result of these industry trials. It's been produced in a partnership with a small gold miner called Eco Minerals Research, and that's been done at a demonstration plant in the Western Australian goldfields in the town of Menzies. The good news, of course, is that this new non-toxic process provides an alternative to the cyanide and mercury that's traditionally been used to extract gold.
Yeah, we heard a little bit about this by our regional reporter a couple of weeks ago. So it needs a bit of cost more to set it up, though, on a large scale, doesn't it? Bit of work.
Well, the great news is, if you think about a typical cyanide-based processing plant, apparently, and I've read this on the ABC, it costs around $30 million, but this new technology has a lower capital investment costing, and it costs as little as $2 million to $2.5 million to build. Now, this has been a $2.1 million demonstration project that was made possible through $850,000 in funding from the Science and Industry Endowment Fund, as well as a fund from the Australian Government Innovation Connections Grant. So good to see the CSIRO and government working in partnership with industry to get an outcome that if this works and can be scaled up to the level it looks like it can be, this could make a really big difference globally for the gold industry.
You're on That Life. We're talking to John Dee, co-founder of Do Something, Planet Ark, and One Tree Per Child. We're getting some good news as we go into another working week. All right. Now, Facebook have had very bad press lately, as they should have, because they've been doing some naughty things with our data. But they have committed to using renewable energy.
They have. If you think about Facebook, they have, as you say, they've been getting a lot of negative publicity. But in 2015, they set a goal of powering 50% of their facilities with renewable energy by 2018. Good news there is that they achieved that goal a year earlier than planned. Now, they've gone out and announced that they want to be coal-free and that they want to power their global operations with 100% renewable energy by the end of 2020. Now, Facebook has announced that they've signed a whole bunch of deals in the last year where they've increased their total of purchased renewable energy to over 3 gigawatts of solar and wind energy. That's a huge amount of power that's now coming from renewable sources, which is really good to see.
Okay. All right. Now, you talked a few weeks ago about Harley Davidson making their first electric motorbike. I'm a bit more excited about your good news on motorbikes tonight.
Well, you know, there's a lot of people who would never step on a Harley, but they very happily jump on a Vespa. You know, if you think about Vespas, they've been with us since 1946. Back in Pisa, they've always been in the town of the city of Pisa, in Italy. That's when they first started making their Vespa bikes. And they've announced that they're beginning production this month of their first electric motorbike. It's going to be called the Vespa Elettrica, and it goes on sale next year. So great to see that they're going to make that in the same plant where they began it all back in 1946.
Well, I hope my bloke's not listening, because he's going to want one.
Well, you think about it, they're going to be silent, they'll be fast.
I know, but I worry about the drivers on the road, right? That's the thing. And silent means they're even harder to see and hear.
Well, look, you know, if you're inside a car, you're not really going to hear a normal Vespa anyway, so you've always got to be careful on the roads. But, you know, the good news with this, they've released some pictures of it. It's really beautiful.
It's
an elegant Vespa design, but upgraded where there's no pollution coming out of it. And it's totally silent, but it's fast, which is great to see.
All right. Yep. Look out for any Vespas or bikes on the road if you're driving tonight. All right. Well, that is good news. Now, just before you go, talking things electric, Europe's hit a sales milestone this week.
They have. You know, the sales of electric vehicles have soared by more than 40% in Europe this year. And it's now reached the point where there's more than 1 million electric cars on the road in Europe. So that's a major milestone. And the good news too is that Jaguar have announced that they're going to start making electric versions of people's old E-Type Jaguars. You might remember at the wedding of Harry and Meghan Markle, they drove away in that E-Type Jaguar.
Yeah.
Well, they had such positive PR around the world. They've now announced that if you've got an old E-Type Jaguar, they'll retrofit it and turn it 100% fully electric for you as well.
So you can pretend to be Harry and Meghan.
Indeed.
Thanks, John.
Maybe not as wealthy.
Definitely not. Very few would ever get into that stratosphere. Thanks so much.
Thanks, Sam.
John Dee, the founder of Do Something Planet Ark and One Tree Per Child, with good dose of good news.
You're with Sarah McDonald on ABC Radio.